Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Journey Brown through the hole to 5, 10, breaks the tackle, first down, 15, swings it near side, 20, turns on the speed, 30, 40, near side, midfield, 40, 30, near side, 25, 20 inside the 20 and down to the 15-yard line. Journey Brown. The sun comes out and Journey Brown runs toward it. Ford to the left now. He's got it. Right side. Touchdown. Penn State as Devin Ford walks into the end zone. And the Nittany Lions cap a 98-yard drive, 85 of which carried by Journey Brown. To tie the game before the half. Waits. Good snap. Put down. Kick is on its way. The kick by Jordan Stout is... good! Jordan Stout ties the game and ties the Beaver Stadium record with the longest field goal in Penn State history, 57 yards. He'll give the ball to Kane, to the 10, to the 5. Noah Kane, touchdown! Penn State, the Nittany Lions cap an 88-yard drive and take the lead with 5:50 to go in the third. 5 seconds left. Two left, two right. Pickett takes it. Back to pass. Four-man rush. Steps up. Looks. Throws it in the end zone. And it is batted around. It hits the turf. Incomplete. And the Nittany Lions win the 100th meeting with Pitt, taking it 17-10.
I just thought overall, you know, I thought the first half, the story of the game was their defense being able to get to our quarterback. Not necessarily with sacks, but we're hitting our quarterback and pressuring our quarterback. We weren't able to do that with them. They did a good job protecting the first half. I thought in the second half, we were able to make some adjustments. We got more pressure on them. We got them out of the pocket, and we were disruptive with our defensive line in the run game. I thought we controlled the run game all night. We weren't able to make him uncomfortable in the pocket until the second half.
James, talk about Micah Parsons. I thought it was his best game. That matchup, when he got a running back to try to pick him up on that blitz, is that the matchup you're trying to look for him?
Yeah, obviously, when you can get a guy like Micah Parsons matched up with a running back, you like that. You feel really, really good about that. I thought overall, the stuff that we're doing where we're using him as one of our four rushers, we think that's important for us moving forward. But we got a bunch of guys that we feel like can do. We just need a little bit more production right now out of our defensive line when it comes to sacks and pressures.
And it seems like in the second half, you started throwing to your backs out of the backfield. Is it something you saw?
Yeah, we want to get those guys involved. And the other thing is, obviously, if we can get the ball out of our quarterback's hands, then it helps our offensive line. The other thing we did was we moved the pocket a little bit, which is something I think is really important. Obviously, we got hurt tonight with the screen game. That's been a theme. We got to get better there. We're running the screen now as well with our offense in practice. So I think that's going to help our defense. The other area is I thought our special teams and our offense put our defense in great field position all day, and we let them go on long, sustained drives that either flip field position or scoring. So we got to be better there, too.
The 13-play 88-yard drive that you put together to put your in front to stay had a real mix of run and pass. What did the running game mean to then have the pass dovetail off of it?
Yeah, we need more of that. There's no doubt about it. We need to be as balanced as we possibly can. I also think some of that stuff, like you mentioned earlier, is getting the running back involved in the passing game as well. I think that's helpful for us. You know, I'll say this. You know, I've felt this way for 4 years. They play really good defensive football. Narduzzi's got a great reputation as a defensive football coach. Got a lot of respect for them. And it's been a battle, you know, but we were able to find a way to get another win today. Obviously, the series didn't start the way we wanted it to start, but it ended that way.
James, you have no problem putting true freshmen like Ford and Kane in critical those situations in a football game.
Yeah, I thought Kane was great in that drive. He was most of the drive. I've said it to you guys before. He does stuff, and it's not necessarily, you know, a thing that just wows you and blows you away, but he's getting 4 yards. He's falling for six. He's getting 3 yards. He's falling forward for five. That's the type of back he is, and it's very productive, and we got four guys that we feel really good about.
James Franklin after the game on Saturday, as the Nittany Lions won it 17-10. Several notes on the game for you. All right, number one, I really like the schedule a lot because I like the placement of the bye weeks. I think now you get a chance to reassess where you are. I think that makes a big difference. I've said it from the beginning that this schedule, you play the opening three, and then you get to sit back and say, okay, what's going right, and where do we need corrections? I felt that after the third game of the season, that was a good spot to have this in, a really good spot. And that's where they are now, and they're in this spot at 3-0. Obviously, there are some areas, because the schedule built every week, Idaho, then they play Buffalo, then they play Pitt. So it got better and better and better every week, and it's going to get better next when they play Maryland on the road, their first road test. I felt Pitt played absolutely as well as Pitt can play. I looked at the tapes. You know, it's interesting, when you do look at the Virginia tape, you see the Virginia score, but I took the time to look at the tape because I wanted to see them against competition like Virginia. You know what the average length of scoring drive in that Virginia game was for Virginia? You know what it was? 25 yards. That was the average length of scoring drive against Pitt, was 25 yards in that game. So I came in thinking to myself, you know what, they're going to be a pretty good defensive team. Now, Jack thought this was going to be a hard-fought, low-scoring defensive game. Jack thought that from the beginning. I thought it was going to be a hard-fought, low-scoring game until about midway in the third, and then Penn State would get it in gear and eventually slowly but surely pull away and win by, I think I told people they'd win by 20 points. That's how I thought it was going to play out. And it didn't play out that way. Played out the way Jack said it was going to play out. But there are a lot of reasons behind this, and it goes back to, boy, I'm going to say I was probably saying this in May or June, Sean, where I talk about the two lines, the experience line and the talent line. I mean, I've been talking about this for months. So, but I'm going to reiterate that. And the reason I want to reiterate it is that I want to keep going back to it because I just think that with this particular team, just like I think that through happenstance, this schedule is perfect for this particular team. This schedule was not put together with this team in mind, but it turned out that this schedule to me matches this team. You get the break right when you need it. Well, there's another element that is a familiar theme with this particular team that's very important to me. And that is the talent line is up in that 90-100 area. There's no doubt they have a lot of talent. Now, it's going to be very, well, you got to coach it up. You got to do this. Just, okay, yeah, that's great. I understand that you probably did not, because they didn't cover, it probably was not a great day financially for you. I got that part. But I've also talked about the second line, which is the experience line. When will the two lines intersect? And as I told groups when I went out to speak, and as I've told all of you on this show, so those who were faithful listeners every day, or those of you who went out and saw me talk, I talked about the two lines, the talent line versus the experience line. And I said, the question with this team is going to be, when do the two lines intersect? Because the second they do, it's really going to take off. And I pointed out that the two lines could be a gradual one, and all of a sudden they intersect in November. Okay. All right. Or the two lines go at a pace, and all of a sudden they intersect in October. Okay, now this could be a really, really interesting season. Or suddenly out of nowhere you get this acceleration, the two lines meet each other, and experience starts to be talent in September. Well, now you have a chance at a spectacular season because they do have the talent on this team. But there's a lot, you know, when you're playing 45 to 55 guys like Penn State is, you're going to have some guys out there that, despite all the practice, are learning on the job. Justin Shorter is learning on the job. Dan Chisena is learning on the job. Cam Sullivan Brown, to a point, even a Mac Hippenhammer is. A Rasheed Walker, Mike Miranda, C.J. Thorpe, Sean Clifford, Noah Kane, Devin Ford, Ricky Slade, Journey Brown, all seeing their first extended time. They're all learning on the job. Okay, now Hamler's not, Freiermuth's not. I don't even think Dotson is. I think they've got, you know, they're veteran. Bennett, Gonzalez, they're not. Now you go over to defense. Let's take a guy like a great talent. Let's take a guy that's a fabulous talent, Jason Owe. Jason Owe is a fabulous talent, but he's learning on the job. He didn't start playing football until he was a junior in high school. Well, as a talent, as an athlete, he is a fabulous, fabulous talent, fabulous athlete. But he's still learning how to play the game at this level. You know, an experienced defensive end. Let's take a guy like Sharif Miller last year. An experienced defensive end knows how to set a tackle up. He's out there on that edge. He's got that tackle there. And he knows how to set him up. He may do something, a couple things early in the game because he's trying to set up the big move for later in the game. He knows how to do stuff like that. Jason Owe doesn't know how to do that stuff yet. At some point he will. And when he does, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch because he is a very talented player. But he needs experience. Simple as that. Even Shane Simmons, you know, he sort of needs some experience. He just needs more. Now, I think Shane played pretty well, by the way, on Saturday. So don't, you know, I think you can see the experience now happening for Shaka Tony. A guy like Damian Barber needs a little bit more experience. He hasn't really. You know, he hasn't really had a lot of experience. You look at, let's see, Jan Johnson does, Cam does, obviously. Jesse Lucchetta does not have a lot of experience out there. I mean, Jesse just doesn't. He played last year, but he played mostly on special teams last year. So he's got that experience. And obviously a guy like Brandon Smith didn't play much. But then you look in the secondary. Brisker hasn't played on this level. Keaton Ellis hasn't played until now. Trent Gordon got only a little bit of smidgen last year. All right, Donovan Johnson got some, then he got hurt. Now, obviously, Fields and Reed are experienced players. So I think Sutherland gets better every week. That's how I look at it. I'm seeing a lot of on the job growing pains here, so that you're good enough to win. Gilligan punted brilliantly. Stout hit the big field goal. You didn't turn the ball over. Zero turnovers. They played a disciplined game. You know, Pitt did a lot of little ticky-tack, a little shove here, a little twist of the face mask there. You can see it happening, right? There was one swing in the end zone that happened. and that swing was, the Penn State player was there, and I can't remember which Pitt player it was, and Pitt teammate came over to him, and he didn't see him, and he turned and he swung at the Penn State player, thinking the Penn State player grabbed him. It was his teammate that did it. You're like, oh, brother, who's, you know, what kind of discipline's on this team? None. But Penn State played a disciplined game, did not turn the ball over, punted the ball really well, didn't give Pitt much field position. In fact, the field position for both teams in this game is lousy. Pitt's average starting point was the 20. Penn State's average starting point was the 16. So when you get into a tight, hard-fought football game, how do you win it? Well, you win it because your punter does a good job and your coverage team does a good job. And the Chisena play, I'm sorry, but no offense, but because the Pitt player doesn't call for a fair catch. That's why God created it. But that's another point. And the only touchdown drive Pitt had was that aided by that phantom pass interference penalty. As you know, my biggest gripe about officiating is as follows, and I'll say it again. Your job is to call what you see, not what you think happened. The two guys with the best angle on that pass interference play were looking straight at it from the center of the field. Neither one threw the flag. The flag came in on the sideline. Really? So there's a Penn State player on each side of French to double. You're saying that you saw through the Penn State player that it was interference, even though he tripped over his own 2 feet. You can't officiate by what you think happened. You can only officiate by what you see. Point made, we move to the next point. That was the only touchdown drive Pitt had in the game, and it was aided by a critical third down penalty. That play's called properly, like it was by the other guys in the field. And guess what? Pitt punts. Penn State didn't give up a point in the second half. Did not turn the ball over. Put together a 13-play, 88-yard drive to take the lead. Where they mixed, I thought, the mixture of Kane in that backfield. I think James said it right. He gets 3, and he falls ahead for 5. He gets 6, he falls ahead for 8. Kane's always going forward. I like Noah Kane a lot. The more you see Noah Kane, the more you like him. I also thought it gave them... When something like that happens, now you have a legitimate play-action game. Now, what hurt Penn State in this game from getting a greater margin in this game? What kept Penn State from getting a greater margin? Believe it or not, of all the things that kept Penn State from getting a greater margin in this game, it was actually something that's been one of the biggest pluses for years for Penn State. First down. Penn State had 9 consecutive passes on first down. Now, I don't mean 9 consecutive first down plays, so please. You know, there may have been a dozen first down plays and 9 of them were passes. All right, just to give you an example. And of those 9 passes, they missed all 9. That meant over a span of 9 pass plays on first down, Penn State was 2nd and 10 after each of them. Now that changes what you're trying to do offensively. So they've got to be better. And some of those first down plays were shots, and I completely understand the shots. You're trying to get the big play, the chunk play. You've got the athletes. You're trying to get to them. And Sean normally throws a really terrific deep ball, and he just missed a couple. Okay. And the one, by the way, in the end zone to Hamler, and you saw Freiermuth there. If you're wondering whose fault that was Freiermuth's fault. Freiermuth ran the wrong pattern. It happens. Happens. But that's how I looked at it. You may have a different viewpoint. That's fine. That's fine. That's what makes it fun. We can have different viewpoints. We can see things differently. But I think a big part of this football team and what makes the season interesting are the two lines. When will the experience and the talent lines intersect? when they do, it's going to be really spectacular. The question is, how long is the process to get the two lines to meet? We'll take a break. Bottom of the hour. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business, whatever it be, whatever the insurance need, bundles. You want the best in the business, you want the pros who think that customer service is number one. That is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Speaking of the best in the business, Sunbury Motors. Great product, great sales staff, great service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ben Roethlisberger app for the year. It is now the Mason Rudolph show. You know what? In the end, this is not a bad scenario for the Steelers. You might as well find out through injury what you have. You might as well. You're 0-2 right now.
That's the reason why they took, and that's why and where, you know, and where in the draft when they. When they selected Mason Rudolph a little over a year and a half ago, you know, to put him in this situation. And I kind of wonder now if, and they won't admit this to anybody, but it'd be interesting to get their take behind closed doors with the windows pulled down in the office. Maybe we should have kept Josh Dobbs after all.
Yeah, but you can't sit there and count on this happening. I mean, that's, you know.
Well, with scenarios like this, though, if it gets more rampant in the NFL, it just makes you wonder if more teams are going to keep three quarterbacks instead of two.
Yeah, are there three good quarterbacks out there?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, per team. In other words, do you have 66 quarterbacks that are NFL-level quality quarterbacks? And I don't really think there are. So, he's out for the year, and out 6 weeks, Drew Brees. The Browns will take on what's left of the Jets tonight. So that's the Monday night game. The Red Sox swept the Phillies over the weekend. And there's your update. So back to the game on Saturday. One quick area. I don't care what he says, but Pat Narduzzi, here's the bottom line. Right? The biggest problem with Pitt on the schedule is this. Now, the nine-game thing is an important part of this, okay? So, all right. Because you don't have the kind of space that to schedule. You need the, you know, look, if for everybody, there's so many wrestling fans out there and volleyball fans and soccer fans and baseball fans and so forth. Look, you can't have these programs unless you have money. And part of the formula to have 31 sports at Penn State is you need 7 home games at Beaver Stadium. So essentially, in those 3 non-conference games, you get one opportunity to put a home and away there because you needed the 7 home games. It's been like that for decades. It's not a recent phenomenon. It's decades. I remember Joe talking to me so many times. Joe talked to me about the importance of 7 games. I mean, you know, you have a lot of private conversations with people along the way, which, you know, if you're listening, it sticks with you. And so the 7 home game thing has been important forever. Now let's play a what-if game. Let's now turn the calendar ahead to 2021. It's September 16th, 2021. Shikellamy's opened the season 4-0. The suit's insufferable. And has had the interim removed from his title. How are we doing so far?
Interim, okay, removed, so far? The interim removed from the title. Whoa. Okay.
I mean, let's just, like, you know, let's play a fantasy game here.
Yeah. Could happen.
Now, remember, what's the game Penn State's playing on that particular week? Auburn. So you have, potentially, senior Sean Clifford, a quarterback for Penn State, and junior Bo Nix, a quarterback for Auburn. If Penn State plays the exact same game, play for play, and beats Auburn 17-10, what's the national buzz over that game? It's off the charts, isn't it? Tough, hard-fought game, Big Ten, SEC, 2 great quarterbacks, Sean Clifford, Bo Nix. Wow, you know, the defense has stepped up. There's a goal line stand. I mean, it's and Penn State won 17, and people are thrilled they won 17-10. Why doesn't everybody feel that way about this game? Because of perception. The national perception of the Pitt program is not on the same level, even though they're a Power 5 school, as it is for other programs, Auburn being a good example, which Penn State will be playing here in 2 years. And if Penn State plays play by play by play and wins the game 17-10 in Beaver Stadium, the exact same scenario, no changes. Nix makes a big pass play down the sideline to one of his Auburn wideouts on the final drive. Auburn wideout goes up, makes a great catch on the sideline, gets a foot in. Nix takes 2 shots at the end zone at the end. Or no, dumps one off, then takes 1 shot at the end zone and trying to tie it. Ball's knocked away, incomplete. Penn State wins 17-10. The euphoria is incredible. Why? Because it was a win over Auburn. National program, national prominence, national perception. Pitt doesn't bring that kind of perception to the table. I'm not saying it's anybody's fault, but the last time Pitt won 11 games in the season, you know, Penn State's done it twice in the last 3 years. You know, the last time Pitt's won 11 games in the season, 1981. They've been the perennial 5-8-win team for a long time. Good, but national perception, not good enough. It's just the way it is. I'm not, okay, this is not a put-down. I'm talking about reality here. What would the perception be of Penn State beating Auburn 17-10 in a game like that on Saturday? There'd be people who go, what a great game. This is all incredible. They won. The defense was great. Yeah. Oh, it's a tough Auburn defense. Could have got more out of it. Whatever. Okay? Because the perception of Auburn is different than Pitt. which now brings us to Pat Narduzzi. You know what your perception is. You know what I'm really surprised about Saturday's game? How many times, Sean, did you hear Jack and me say, okay, watch out what they might do here? Like maybe fake a punt,
yes,
run a reverse,
yes,
right?
More than once, yes.
Right? And how many times did they do it? Never. They ran one reverse, and that was predictable gets. You know, Jack called out the screen passes. See, this is where the experience thing comes in for the players. You got to be thinking that it's going to happen. It's a possibility. Jack called out those screen passes before they even lined up.
I really wanted to be in the press box during the timeout when Pitt had four plays from the one-yard line, needed one score to tie the game, and they decided to go for a field goal instead of the touchdown. I'm just curious what was kicked around between you two.
Well, we thought they'd go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was going to go for it. I was thinking... Right, then he gives this explanation in the postgame about, you know, like he's giving a lecture. You know, you need two scores to win. Okay, well, no offense here in the back room. That's why God created the two-point conversion. You can get two scores on one touchdown. Excuse me. Okay, you're not talking to a group of dumb people in the room. I need a field goal and a touchdown to win. No, you can score a cut touchdown, get a 2-point conversion, sport. You can't just act like everybody in the room is dumb. You make a statement like that. I mean, what? I see something like that. You're not playing to win.
Well, he claims he had success running the ball today and on Saturday, and then you throw it three times from the 1 yard line. It's
no success running the ball. That's what gets me about this.
Right.
I mean, I think the fact that they had no success running the ball actually played into the decision to kick the field goal because they couldn't run. That reverse that Shockey Jacques Louis ran. If you remember the play, you know, Jack called out the two screen passes. Well, when Shockey Jacques Louis came into the game, I called out the reverse. The reason I called out the reverse is he had not played a single down all season, and they did not bring him into the game because he was ready to be a pass receiver. That's what he does. He runs reverses. And they ran a reverse, and they gained 9 yards. That's the only one they ran all day. That was also the longest game Pitt had running-wise all day. Pitt ran for, what, 21 yards in the game? 21 yards. So it probably played into his idea of, I can't knock it in from the one, I can't run. He knew his team couldn't run the ball. He knew that. But don't give me this lame, you need two scores to win. Okay? Guess what? If you're playing to win like you claim you are, you try for the touchdown. If you score, you go for two. There, your two scores. We're done. You need two scores to win. You're correct. You do, and you can get them with a touchdown and a 2-point conversion.
Field position, though, is so critical. I mean, if it hadn't been for their punter, it just makes you wonder. This wouldn't have been a 7-point game.
But Blake Gilligan punted really well too. Both punters were terrific. The average drive start for Pitt was their own 20-yard line, Sean. The average drive start for Penn State was their own 16. The two punters and the coverage teams did a terrific job on Saturday. They both did. So, I mean, that comes into play. And, of course, when Stout kicks off, we can go down to the sideline to Matt McLoyne. He can talk for 10 minutes until the ball lands. Oh, yeah, by the way, it's a touchback. But
I just love these other locations that you're reeling off, is there?
Well, I think we're just going to do a contest.
As the ball floats out of the back of the end zone. Moon Township. Belfont.
Well, I mentioned Moon Township because that's where the airport in Pittsburgh is. I mentioned Conemaugh Township because that was a Moeller and Ham reference. Belfont was just to keep the locals happy.
Sure.
The Lamont Post Office has had more run in our football broadcast than they have in the 50 years of existence it's been there. Still, a lot of people didn't even know it existed. Oh, my goodness. Might as well have some fun with it. But again, you know, we need two scores to win. Yeah, a touchdown and two-point conversion. There's your two scores. Okay, I rest my case. Like, I'm listening to me. You're lecturing the, like, you know, touchdown, two-point conversion. Don't lecture me about your field goal. The bottom line is you blew it. Okay? You were down there one other time the entire day, and that was because you got a gift on a pass interference call. And when he came out for the field goal, remember what Jack and I said, what a bad angle it was, because that's the worst place in the field to kick it, as far as I'm concerned. When you're that close on that hash mark, that is a hard kick. But then again, for me, everyone is. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Pitt hit Sean Clifford too often in the first half on Saturday, and Penn State did not get to Kenny Pickett enough in the first half Saturday. That's one of the big things you saw in the second half. They did put a lot more pressure on Kenny Pickett in the second half. They made adjustments there. I also thought that Sean Clifford operated from a cleaner pocket in the second half, so that really helped. The drive with Noah Kane, the 13-play, 88-yard drive, where Kane scored from 13 yards out. You know, there's something about that kid. He is always moving forward. And as James says, if you hit him at 3, he'll get you 5. If you hit him at 5, he'll fall down and get you 7. That's the way he plays. And it was perfect to get him in at that time. And then it gave Penn State a legitimate play-action option, which played well on that drive. If I recall correctly, Sean Clifford had a big third-down pass play to Cam Sullivan Brown to keep the drive alive. That was the drive that put them in front. It's also interesting at the end of the first half. Well, actually, one other item, too. Penn State also did a good job, especially as the game went, of using the backs out of the backfield. Devin Ford caught a pass. Kane caught a pass on that drive. The big 40-yard pass play to Ricky Slade was well done. Journey Brown can catch the ball. I mean, they were able to rack up some yardage through the air with the running backs on Saturday. Moving forward, that'll be an important part of what they do, just to mix it up a little bit. Even if it's a simple check down, simple check down can still gain yards.
Yeah, earlier this hour we were talking about players on offense getting the experience as they go. I really liked what Journey Brown said after the game. He was asked about the 85-yard run. They're learning about flow concepts, and he's now able to take the crowd completely out. Doesn't matter if, you know, how big of a run it is, but he's able to, you know, just concentrate on his breathing as he goes, and then when the play is over, then he hears the crowd and the exhilaration, you know, on how the play shakes out. But he says they're learning flow concepts in classes.
Right. I mean, that's part of growing up in this job. Look, and this happens everywhere because more and more younger players are playing now because you've got guys leaving after their redshirt sophomore year, their junior year. At times, guys like Cam Brown and Garrett Taylor and Steven Gonzalez and Jan Johnson, they're a rare breed being seniors playing out there in today's game. I thought Cam Brown played a terrific game in a lot of ways, yet in a couple times, including down by the goal line, a couple times he took a bad angle. But this is where an area that, for example, defensively, is the players have to understand, and it's really, and this is on them, because it is drilled into them. Teams are going to, on third and long, want to screen them. And you've got to be thinking, and I'm talking verbatim what Jack Ham said. This is all Jack right here, and I agree with him completely. Jack says you've got to be out there thinking screen when the play starts. That's going to be your number one deal right away. If you're a linebacker, you've got to be thinking, look, they're going to screen it. Where's that running back? So you got to think it. And that's where the experience is going to come into play for some of these guys. Changing that thought process.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.